بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، we are reading from this kitab a treatise on the principles of tasawwuf, أصول الوصول, the principles of how to reach Allah تبارك وتعالى. So we began chapter 4, the conduct or the code of conduct for the Salikin. Salikin, the one that is studying the path to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, what should be his code of conduct for him to maximize benefit of the company of the pious. So last time we discussed number 17. So here Shaykh Abdul Ghani Pufuri Rahmatullah Alayhi says, provided a person is on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, both with respect to i'tiqad, belief and a'mal, action, which are umura ikhtiyariya, subject to choice, resolve and action. It is thereafter immaterial whether he is visited with any hal, spiritual state, be it qabz, spiritual constriction, or bust, spiritual rapture, jam'iyat, peace and tranquility, or tashwish, anxiety and zuq, joy, or bayduq, absence of joy, etc., which are all umura ghair ikhtiyariya, involuntary states. All these are terms that are used in tasawwuf. So we shouldn't get afraid now. I don't know what these things mean. Most of them are terminologies that are used, istilahat, Urdu words. So we'll just explain them a bit. So here Hazrat says, provided a person is on the sirat al-mustaqim, in the right path. Sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat means path, mustaqim, the right path. So as long as he's on the right path, both with respect to i'tiqad, his beliefs are correct also, very importantly, his beliefs are correct. And now with the onslaught of education, secular education, sometimes you don't realize that even our i'tiqad and our beliefs have been tainted. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. This is always quotes the ayat. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and those people who have iman, real iman, i'tiqad, the belief is correct. And then to clarify this, وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ, that the iman has not been tainted with any zulm, darkness. Zulm is darkness, incorrect aqaid and beliefs. So they have iman and there's no taint in the iman whatsoever. First of all, we have to know what is iman, what makes up my iman. My belief system is correct. Just a few examples that come to mind. Before, in schools, you used to have a set book, or you used to have a reader. Or amongst the school kids also, then they had certain books that they used to read. Alright, many of these books you will find, which was very popular at that time, Enid Blyton. Now, name stuck in our head at that time also. And all the books were about fairies, pixies, gnomes. Right? Fairies, pixies and gnomes. Now whether they were talking about jinnat, about malaika, or the creations of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, but it was like a fictitious world, not real. So they put us into that world, but even if it had to be something true, it's just some fairy tale. And then going on, then it came to ghosts and spook. That where there were packet chips, Ghostbusters. There should be a packet of chips of that. So that was it, nothing real. But jinn is real. Farishta, malaika, fairies are real. And the mushrikeen of Makkah should believe that al-malaikatu banatullah. That the malaika are the daughters of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Na'uzu billah. Allah said, how? When it comes to daughters, you all don't like daughters. Or to bury them alive. But you attribute daughters to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. How is that fair? Whereas malaika have no gender. But how would they depict them as they are female? Alright, you see the different drawings and pictures they have of the angels. So they depict them, most of them to be like female. This was the aqidah and the belief of the mushrikeen of Makkah al-Mukarramah. So many a youngster who grew up with that belief in his mind, that it is just like one ghost, some spook, some spirit, nothing real. But they are jinnat. It is there. So how they tainted our iman also, and our belief system. There's a whole chapter in Surah in Quran, Surah Al-Jin. So to see our aqidah, our beliefs are correct, how in different ways now, like this Big Bang theory, then you have the Darwin's theory of evolution, that even some youngsters believe in that. Because they have to answer the paper to pass the examination, that forms some mark towards their passing that paper. So they have to learn all the different definitions and all the stages of evolution, etc. So as the kid was speaking about it, now, if in that group, you're studying this theory of evolution, if one of the youngsters has to say something contrary, now tomorrow we're writing the paper. You know, this whole thing is a hoax. But we have to learn it. If that youngster now on that side, as we're discussing, and he has to make a mistake in the explanation, the youngster that knows is going to say, hey, you're wrong. This is the right thing. But that's not right. You'll fight with him. You're going to get it wrong. This is the right thing. If you write this, with this you get the full mark. Now he believes it. He believes to get the full mark, I have to write this which is wrong, but I have to believe is correct for me to pass that. Now how they got that done to us also? Then we have to put our kids, and I asked the youngsters in Masjid Hilal also some time ago, on Friday night, Shab Guzari. So I asked the youngsters, because this topic was going around. They said, do you study this here in our local school? They said, we have to study it. It forms part of our mark for the paper. So we have to learn all these different definitions and how the entire thing happened. And then something very frightening this youngster told me. He says, Mufti Sahib, just a few days ago, after we did this whole discussion in the class, so during break time, two youngsters were discussing it, two Hafiz boys were discussing it, and they both are discussing it, they're saying, you know what, this thing really makes sense. This thing really makes sense. The way he explained the entire thing, it makes sense. That how insan evolved from where he was to where he is now. As Hakim Sahib, rahimahullah, when he went to the Kruger National Park, the day he commented, he said, so many monkeys here, that one turned into an insan and a human being is it. How come that one day turned into a human being and the whole human species started from there? And if they want to believe that their forefathers are monkeys, we can't do anything about it. And every person takes pride in where he came from. If we take pride, we get from Adam alayhi salatu salat from Jannat. So if they want to get involved in this monkey business, it's up to them after that. They can prove it and they can break their head, etc. That understanding also, that proving that they are monkeys, their minds have become like that also, monkey business. That now they're trying to really prove that the brain came from a monkey. And that is intelligence to them. Inna lillahi. What's supposed to be real intelligence, the commands of Allah, wahi that came to Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, that they won't be real. But all this dimaghi chakkar that they're putting themselves to as a PhD, tarahwa dimagh. The mind is turned upside down to the same professor who came about with this PhD, when we were in Zambia, he mentioned to Hazrat, Hazrat, as you say before, I also got a PhD, so I coined this thing, para hua dimag, upside down brain. So after I started going in Jamaat, so I changed the PhD to pehla hamara deen. First our deen. So we got that, he said, nah, I wrote theses and articles to get my PhD, to get my master's, and to write about the ecosystem and everything is happening around you with that. Atmosphere and the rest of it. And what research I did, till I went in Jamaat, and he realized every night after Isha Namaz, they give me the same bayan. Allah Ta'ala made the sky, Allah Ta'ala made the ecosystem, every makhluk depends upon Allah Ta'ala. This is Iman. This is Iman. So that's what Hazrat says now, provided a person is on Sirat-i Mustaqim, both with respect to i'tiqad and belief. So this belief also has to come into our hearts firmly, that we have to believe it. And this we have to put in our children. The wife has to believe. Husband is not the provider. The shop is not a provider. And then when the wife doesn't get, but why? Why like this? Why? Husband is not the prime provider. It's just a outer and a outer sabab and a cause. Allah Ta'ala has a system. That they say this is a zarf. Dukan in the shop is a zarf. It's just a bartan. It's a container. Which gives Allah Ta'ala an excuse to put the rozi in there. But Mullah Muhammad Yusuf Sahib Rahimahullah, when he explained this, he says Allah Ta'ala's power of sustenance has no connection whatsoever with your shop or your degree. There's no ta'alluq to it. There's nothing. So, he negated everything. All the asbab he negated in Nizamuddin, he gave the bayat. Allah Ta'ala's assistance and help is not linked to any weapon, to any jet, to any government, to any country. Allah is completely as-samad, independent. That dependent that if you have this, then Allah will make this happen. Allah has a system. But Allah is not dependent on his system. Allah is independent completely. So when the Akabir heard this, Imam Muhammad Yusuf rahimahullah is negating all the asbab. That the shop doesn't do, the degree doesn't do, my home doesn't do, the switch doesn't do, the tap doesn't do, nothing. Every one of them is muhtaj in need of the command of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. He said, first time you heard this, Ikilu Nizamuddin, what are you talking about? That nothing can do, but these things are, you press the button. He said, it's not connected to the Qudrat of Allah, to Allah Tabara, Allah's Qudrat is not connected to it. Allah Ta'ala can put it on without anything. And then he said, yes, but I have established the real asbab. These asbab that I see, the means that I see and you believe is happening from here. You believe is happening from here, but is that happening from there? Is happening to amal. He says, yes, I taught them, I established that to take from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the real means to take from Allah are amal. Your dukan is connected to your salah, connected to your Quran tilawat. Allah's promise is on amal. Allah's promise is on dunya. Dunya is a curse by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Ad-dunya mal'unatun mal'unun ma fiha. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said, entire dunya is accursed. Everything in dunya is accursed. Illa dhikr Allah wa ma walaha. Except the dhikr of Allah, whatever is connected to it. And alimun aw muta'allimun. The alim of deen and the teacher of ilm. They are excluded from the curse of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Everything else is removed from the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we tell the children also, usually the mother will say, ask papa, ask dad, ask father, he'll buy it for you. Incorrect. He can't buy it. Even his money can't buy it. He can have all the money. Jamaat went which countries they went to, Bolivia, all the South American countries. He said he had all the money in the world, but you couldn't even buy one morsel of food also. Couldn't buy even a bottle of water, nothing available. They have all the money. Well, all the money in the world, but you can't do anything. Allah Ta'ala shows you. If Allah Ta'ala gives it to you also, it comes free. Ya Allah, I never take out money. How it came? From where it came? Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat. So our belief system has to be correct. Our tawakkul, yaqeen, belief in Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So provided a person is on the sirat and mustaqim, is on the right path. And even to understand what is the right path. How many of us did any research or theses? What is the right path? We just took it to be, okay, we learned this one, two things. This is the right thing. But that shows you also where we learned about this right things. In the maktab. In the maktab is such a important and integral part of a Muslim's life that the children have to go to maktab. Very important. That old system sitting on the chair, sitting on the floor, and the ustaz is there teaching the children in chorus, it goes into the heart. And there's so many examples of youngsters in maktab years ago. Now they travel the world, but they still remember this is right and this is wrong. And now with the modern type of ta'lim, everything is free for all. Everything free for all. But there's a major son also, nothing serious. At that time we learned by sincere asatiza, the food was halal, was wholesome, they had iman, they had taqwa. What they instilled in the children, instilled in us, but we learned, they didn't know much about tajweed, etc. It was a simple Urdu, a little bit Urdu kitab, and a simple takhti we had that time. We had no, assistants and readers and things like that, but they thought, that's how to do Quran Sharif. And how many youngsters now, 16, 17, still can't do Quran Sharif? So, where to learn what the Sirat al-Mustaqim? Quran says this also. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Ya Allah, guide us to the straight path. I want a dua. Every rakat of salah, you have to read it. Every sunnat, nafil, okay, the first salah, the first two rakats is wajib to read it. Second two rakats is sunnat. So, the dua we have to make all the time, it shows such an important point. This is Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Then, Quran makes tafsir of Quran Sharif. Allah Pak says, where you get Sirat al-Mustaqim? Sirat al-Ladina. The path of those people. the path of those people, an'amta alayhim, whom you have favored. Tafsir continues, min al-nabiyyin, wa siddiqin, wa shuhada'i, wa salihin. So Quran says, you want sirat al-mustaqim, guidance to the right path, you to follow the path of those people, but Allah Ta'ala favored with the right path. On your own, not possible. Sahaba ikram radiallahu anhum, they knew Arabic. They're the first addresses of Quran Sharif and Wahi. Then too, they would say, we don't understand this ayat. And alif lam mim, kaf ha ya ain sad, hamim, kaf. All these words in Quran Sharif were revealed as a challenge to the Arabs. And this is your language. Well, a great poets, well, adib, masters in literature and in poetry, Arabic grammar, and they would take pride in it. So Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala revealed these certain verses as a challenge, tahaddi lahum, as a challenge to them. That you say you're so well versed in Arabic, to give the meaning of kaf, ha, ya, ayn, sad. So we don't know what it means. We don't know. They didn't say there's no meaning to it. They say we don't know what it means. Beyond you, this is wahi. So, because they would say that this is fabricated. أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَى. They would say, يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَاهُ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has fabricated the Quran Sharif. So Allah Ta'ala says, okay, if it's so, then قُلْ فَاتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِثْلِهِ. Then bring one surah similar to it. Bring 10 surahs equal to it. That if you really say it is fabricated, then bring a surah equal to it. But none of them could do so. None of them, so it rendered them helpless. So they couldn't translate these words also. So Quran says, you want Sirat-i Mustaqim, you'll have to go to those that are upon the Sirat-i Mustaqim. So Ibn Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhum, was in the member of Masjid al-Nabawi. Then he read the ayat, أَوْ يَأْخُذَهُمْ عَلَىٰ تَخَوُّفُ. So he asked them, what's the meaning of تَخَوُّف? 14 Sibara. أَوْ يَأْخُذَهُمْ عَلَىٰ تَخَوُّفُ. Allah Ta'ala will seize them عَلَىٰ تَخَوُّفُ. So he asked Sahaba ikram, what is تَخَوُّف? Nobody knew the meaning. One person stood up. He says, I know the meaning of this word because this word, we use it in our poetry, in our qabila, in our tribe. In our tribe, this word is commonly used. So I know the meaning of it. But the rest of them didn't know it. Really, what it referred to, what it really meant, even they didn't know. Sahaba radiallahu anhum. But even Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained to them, this is what the verse means, this is the intended meaning, what is tafsir, what is the word. Another example is mentioned in Surah Al-Shamsi wa Duhaha. So one great Mufassir, commentator of Quran Sharif, and well versed in Arabic. Now one is the surface meaning, the Zahiri Ma'na, the surface meaning of the word. But Arabic is a very deep, deep language that you can use different words. In English you'll translate the same, but the effect is different. Like in Surah Yusuf, قَدْ شَغَفَهَا حُبَّهُ. When he came to Zulaykha, so Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala used this term, قَدْ شَغَفَهَا حُبَّهُ. That her heart was brimming over with his love. There's about 10 words in Arabic to denote different levels of love. We know one is muhabbat, one is ishq, we know. Then you have shagaf. So different words, if you hear this word, okay, this is the level of love this person has or she has. So 10 different words just to denote what is love. So when it came to Surah Al-Shamsi wa Duhaha, this great Mufassir writing tafsir. But now this word, how is it really used? What's the true essence of the word for them? Dama alayhim rabbuhum. When it came to Qawm Salih alayhi salatu wasalam, the nation of Salih alayhi salatu wasalam, they asked for the miracle. And they wanted a pregnant camel to come out from the mountain. Allah Ta'ala took out a camel for them. فَعَقَرُوهَا فَعَقَرُوهَا. So they appointed someone to go and to hamstring the animal and kill it. So when you kill the miracle or you destroy the miracle of Allah, now Allah Ta'ala's azab becomes halal for you. So for دَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ. So to describe دَمْدَمَ means to destroy them. See the word دَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ. But in which way? How were they destroyed? What is azab? We hear the word azab. You have a word like عذبهم, Allah Ta'ala gave them punishment. أهلكهم كما أهلك عاد وثمود. We usually نقول تنازلة أهلك يهلك, to destroy. But these words are used. Now this word was used for the people of Salih alayhi salatu wasalam. فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ. What does it mean? So he says, the only people that can explain this word to me, the essence of it will be the Bedouins. Because that time, their Arabic was very eloquent. The design Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, mother sent him with Halima, Sa'adiyah. They go to the farm areas, and there the Arabic is very eloquent compared now to the city centers where he's colloquial. He's speaking slang. So he went. So he's walking around thinking of who to ask. So as he's passing through the different plots, farms, where then is an old lady sitting outside, and a youngster comes. The youngster comes and he's shouting to his mother, Damdamatil Qidru, Damdamatil Qidru. Ah, he says, this is the meaning of the word. Damdamatil Qidru. He's told his mother that, you see, the word he used to describe the boiling of the pot correctly. Now when you have the pot is boiling, there's water in there, and you put the cover. And when the water begins to boil, what happens to the lid? It begins to heat. But that's what damdama means. So Allah says, فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah Ta'ala, they flatten them and level them out completely. See, this is what the Quran Sharif means. فَدَمْدَمَ عَلِي رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ because of the sin. فَسَوَّاهَا. Allah Ta'ala level them out and flatten them completely. No sign of them. No sign of them. Then he says, this is what the... Now if I just tell you Allah Ta'ala punish them, okay. Some punishment. But now if you understand the real meaning of this word, the deeper meaning of this word, now you understand. Because damdama and the fasawwa. Sawwa means to level them out, to flatten them completely. وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَهَا. And Allah, the King, had no fear of the outcome. What will happen? Allah had no fear whatsoever. This all qudrat belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So provided a person is upon the sirat-e-mustaqim, on the right path. What is the right path also? That we have to learn. Both with respect to i'tiqad. How is in the sirat-e-mustaqim? His i'tiqad and his belief is correct. His belief is amantu billah. In Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Wa malaikati. The malaika, we explain. Malaika are not daughters of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Wa kutubihi. The scriptures of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Now these people want to study other scriptures. So maybe something is in there also. But our belief is mansukh, abrogated. Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu was reading it also. Nabi asked, why are you reading it? Maybe something in there. Then he saw the face of Rasulullah was turning red, becoming pale. How dare you read? You read that compared to Quran Sharif. So i'tiqad amantu billahi wa malaikati wa kutubi wa rusuli. Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. He also the attack on the Shias, where they say that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mission was incomplete and he left as a failure in a'udhu billah. But his mission was incomplete. Inna lanansuru rusulana. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said, verily, we will assist rusulana, our messengers. How can it be that the mission was incomplete and they left? But this also taints one's iman. When it comes to anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and the messengers, our i'tiqad and our belief have to be absolutely correct. واليوم الآخر, the final day, the day of Qiyamah. Here Hazrat says, how many of us think of Qiyamah's day every day? Nobody. It will happen. I already got my ticket one way, I'm going to Jannah. So we don't even think. But if you're fearful, when exam is coming up, examination, oh, you gave for, even for your license, whatever it is, when you write for your learners, you're, no, next week, next week, next week, I got appointment. But appointment Allah tabarak wa ta'ala can be anytime. But nobody thinks of the day of Qiyamah. How am I going to fail? Is haq, is a reality, and is absolutely the truth. And taqdeer, predestiny, good and bad is from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So we submit to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala completely. No complaint, no objection. Why you did this? Why you didn't do that? Everything from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, all good and bad from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Wal ba'ath ba'd al maut and resurrection after maut. The qabr is already on the start. And people are already living that life. Another life altogether. And people are there already living it. And I'm also going to get there. So too, my aqidah and belief has to be correct in regards to all these things over here. And you should be very careful nowadays. When something we hear and sitting with family, some statements are made. Sometimes in regards to a sunnah, like once is mentioned also, a person made a statement in regards to sunnah. So he said, It's only a sunnah. To sing it only a sunnah, verse is not problematic. That's something to say. But the alim said, it wasn't a statement of kufr, but the tone was kufr. How he said it? It's only a sunnah. What's the problem? It's only a sunnah. Statement was okay. Don't take it from Islam, but the tone was kufr. So how you say it also? Yeah, Hazrat says to many people, things that are to do with aqidah and belief and iman, they just take it lightly. Where is this parda they came from? All of a sudden, these movies are very heavy. Now they know, lock up the woman in the house, stifle their progress, and they can't do this, and they can't get a degree, and they can't study, and they can't do this. Where did all this thing from? All of a sudden, they come with heavy maslas. So, the statements too are very, very dangerous. As we always say, don't shoot the messenger. You're only the messenger passing the message on. So, it's all in Quran and Hadith Sharif, it is all there. But now they don't know where this came from. Can't go to the masjid, can't go to haram, can't do this, can't do that. The greatest is telling you, not us. Allah knows what's best for you. What is best for you, best for society, best for the men. So Allah Ta'ala knows the best of everything. So we have to submit. So the statements we make also can be kufr statements. So this we have to be very careful. Years ago, I mentioned this too. Sometimes you have a new alim disqualified. Now his first Jummah Bayan is giving. First Jummah Bayan is giving. Is it orator? He prepared whatever he could prepare. And now you got academics sitting there, professionals sitting there. And after the Jummah Bayan, sitting as a family, somebody will start. How is the Bayan? Somebody will say, it was alright. It was alright. Not relevant. Not relevant. Now, I'm reading all the articles. I'm into politics. It's happening in the world. What the Ali spoke about? Namaz. What do you say? Not relevant. It's absolutely irrelevant. You go in the qabr, this is you're going to be asked on the day of Qiyamah the first question. Not what's happening in the politics in the world, but what's your 2 cents about it? Ask whether you read your namaz, your qaza namaz. Is it not relevant? Yeah, I think his vocab was okay. Presentation was fair. Now you're grading the alim. So Hazrat says, for Allah's sake, it's lunchtime on a Friday, don't chow the alim. Whether you chow the prawns is makruh. Eating the alim is haram. So don't eat the alim, make dua. Make dua, Allah Ta'ala, give me the reality of what he said. Give me the reality of what he said. But we go into all of this. He's an orator, he's a speaker, he can move, he's shouting, he's too soft, and all that. Now, Rasulullah Khan Sahib Rahimullah says, the better you didn't come for the bayan. So you just came for the khutbah. So you just came for the khutbah. So just statements like this. Oh, something about the ulama. Remember, ulama also insan. They're not farishtas. The reason why they deserve respect is because of the quality of knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-alim. The one that is all knowledgeable. But this ilm came from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So because of the quality of knowledge, we respect the person. He'll have his flaws, he has his shortcomings. He has to be careful about himself also. Such an amanat he has. Such an amanat and trust from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has given him the knowledge of wahi. So he has to look after himself, but doesn't give any person a right now to degrade him, humiliate him, etc. So Hazrat says, sometimes we just talk these things. Sometimes the ladies also will say, now we can't go here, we can't do this, and you know, you've got a problem with everything. Now this is what you call this is mansus alayhi. This is comes in Quran, comes in Hadith Sharif. Don't waste. Take care of your parda, your modesty. Take care of this. And I will just make statements. Hey, you know, Sharia, why it's so difficult? And how that person, that alim in Madina Munawwara, after they had exhumed or opened the qabr, they found his body wasn't there. And there was a girl, Dr. Thanaullah, he was there. He was there, one of the old workers in Tabligh that started the effort in France. So, one French lady passed away there in France, and she reverted as a Muslim. Alhamdulillah, she took to deen. She passed away. So when they opened the qabr then in Al-Baqi, they found her body there. And this alim's body was found in France. They had to exhume the body there of her body, because they weren't allowed to bury there. Ajeeb, Allah can transfer the bodies. How does this happen? So, the person was an alim of deen. And this woman, lived a life of kufr most of her life. And she became a Muslim. Finally, they were compelled to ask Ali's wife, what happened over here? How come? So she says that he would just make one statement, that every time after we were intimate, then he would say, now we have to make ghusl. It is a kuffar don't have to make ghusl. Now we have to go have a bath. Just on that one statement, Allah Pak didn't like it. Now you might not take it as something of aqidah and belief or iman or anything like that, but that now, that caused such a problem for this alim. So Hazrat says on this point, which is a very, very pertinent, relevant and important point. Sometimes young, we're not realizing we're saying these things. Sometimes our ustaz is an alim also, I disrespect him. Salaji mentioned, we saw most of the youngsters that became, dropouts or delinquent, you can say, was because of disrespect to the ustaz. And he gave many examples. We saw this, we saw that, no matter how academically they were intelligent, but because of disrespect. Disrespect threw them out. To them, out. On the fall of Islam. So the point over here, as it says, sometimes we don't realize in all our superficial intelligence of ours, we make statements like this about the alim or the hafiz of the Quran or something about deen, etc. We don't realize that we already lost our iman. And if you lost your iman, the nikah is broken. And you only realize 40, 50 years later, you know, it's not compatible. It's happening so common. After 30 years of marriage, 50 years of marriage. Now, Baji is in 60s and 70s, he and the wife can't get along. You know what? We just can't get along. Now we've got grandchildren also, now we're getting divorced. Mana says they don't realize, they already, nikah broke 30 years ago. When he made statements like that. When she made statements like this against deen, nikah already broke that time. Now, Allah Ta'ala gave them some taste of piety. So Allah Pak just sorting them out now. They make Tawbah, Istighfar and continue your life now. Your nikah already broke that time when you made these statements. That's why you should be so careful. Not to look down at anyone, not to make any statements in regards to Iman, I'tiqad and belief. So provided a person is on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, both with respect to i'tiqad and belief. The belief system is very important. For this reason, Hazrat compiled a kitab. Imaniyat, ibadat, akhlaqiyat, then we have mu'amalat, and mu'asharat, all the business dealings we're discussing, and ibadat we're discussing. But this is very important. Imaniyat, i'tiqad. We read it every morning after Fajr, the program of Imaniyat. And it's so important, so my iman is correct. So he's on the Sirat al-Mustaqim with respect to his i'tiqad, is belief, and his a'mal also is upon Sirat al-Mustaqim. His a'mal is correct. Your a'mal also has to be perfected, not just done. Alhamdulillah, to a certain extent, we come into a'mal and then I get contented. Alhamdulillah, I've reached here. Dunya, who's contented? If I'm making 50, I must make 100. Then next year, we can't stay on 100. We have to move on. 150 must move on. The bracket has to get higher. But my amal, the three times Subhana Rabbi Al Azim, is still from how many years now? How many years we haven't even increased by two more? Right? We're going to get out of breath or something. But we just can't do it. Doesn't even strike the mind. We just increase. My ruku a little longer, sajda a little longer, listen longer surahs in my namaz. For years is carrying on, and I'm patting myself, mashallah. Hey, you got it, alhamdulillah. You got your 17 rakats, you are there now. So the end of it, now I have to increase. The Quran tilawati my salah, tasbihati my salah. So amal also has to be perfected, my salah. Quran tilawati has to be perfected. Shouldn't be I'm reading my Quran should incorrectly. Dua qunut also. That too, I should be, fitr salah is wajib. That should be corrected. My Quran tilawati. So the amal have to be perfected. That's why each one of us check our namaz, especially basic namaz. How many years are he still now? He's holding his hand correctly. He's holding it now above the navel or on the navel. And how is held also? Well, many are still standing like this. Just holding one hand with the other hand. And very casually standing in namaz. Feet are facing now, not even towards the Qibla. Hazrat says one foot is facing Bollywood, one is facing Hollywood. But you're going to go to Baytullah. How are you going to reach there? The Qibla is off completely. You should face Baytullah. hoping of the apart as far as possible. Now you say, but the two forefingers apart. Well, there's a little bit of leeway. But the gym instructor says you got to stand like that. No, that I got to stand. I want maximum benefit. So they will do it. But then Salana will look for all the loopholes. So Amal have to be correct. Wudu has to be correct. Whether we're still using, whether we're using the miswak and how we're making wudu. Our du'as also. So passes upon the sirat mustaqim and i'tiqad in belief and action which are umura ikhtiyariya. What's umura ikhtiyariya? Subject to choice, resolve and action. And these things are within my capacity and choice. To correct my belief and to come on to a'mal, this is within my capacity. This I must do. 100% I must get it. To the best of my ability, I will try. Allah Ta'ala will perfect it. So a person is upon sirat mustaqim. Immaterial, whether he is visited with any hal, spiritual state, people are waiting to get some hal now. Whether Ramadan time, whether it be in Baytullah, I didn't feel anything. Iman is not about feeling anything, it's about believing in something, believing in Allah. It's not about feeling, I didn't feel anything really. It's about feeling, and when a person feels down, I didn't feel a high. So it was okay now. It's not about that, it's about your yaqeen in Allah increased. I felt my closest to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So immaterial, whether he is visited with any hal, whether he gets any spiritual state, be it qabz, spiritual constriction, doesn't get that, or bust, or spiritual rapture, things are opening up and now he's flying. What do you call? Josh. Right? So he's not getting the josh also now. He's going on a slow. Jam'iyyat, peace and tranquility. He's not feeling that. He's still restless in his ibadah. He's not getting the peace of mind. Immaterial. Oh, tashwish, very anxiety. And his mind now is running. Havoc with him. Making zikr also, mind is at the salah also, he can't get control of his mind. So, even he's making zikr, tasbihat, he's walking around, but doesn't even now. Remember, making Durud Sharif one time, but I finished 500. How that happened? Just continue. Allah shukr, my tongue is used for zikr at least. Although the heart is not there, Allah Ta'ala will put the heart there, sooner or later. Or dhok, joy, or bare dhok, absence of joy, nothing, is immaterial. Which are all umure ghair ikhtiyariya, in the voluntary states. What's voluntary you must do? Correct our iman, and correct our a'mal. These all these conditions are involuntary conditions. You can't bring this about. This is from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. You must do what you have to do. Like the fifth point of tabligh, you learn the 6 points, the 6 sifat. So Mawlana Muhammad Yusuf Rahimullah would say the fifth point, the correct term is tasheeh niyyah, rectification of intention. Not ikhlas. What is ikhlas? Sincerity. Sincerity is within your capacity and control. You can't say I'm sincere. And only for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. But something which is involuntary, sincerity. Your heart changes all the time. What's voluntary is to rectify your intention. So we are taught before the amal, before the action, your light's for you. During the action, again the heart will go this way and that way. Then you still say again, ya Allah, I'm doing this only for you. And finally, when you finish the amal also, ya Allah, it is only for you. So whether it was salah, whether it was Quran tilawat, the hajj, or the zakat, whatever amal, like what commonly we find when you're hosting jamaats, etc. How you're busy feeding, ice cream, chocolate, this, that, tea, what you're going to have, the whole, it's a khidmat of deen. But in the whole chakra now feeding, we don't think once of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah, I'm doing it for you. And you ask everybody how the food was okay, enjoyed it, was okay, tasty. So we more worry about their compliments, whether Allah ta'ala accepted or not. I didn't even make the intention. And then I'm waiting later on now to see if their message will come through. How was it? Whether they enjoyed the evening. But therefore, the intention has to be made. And we continue for years. Checking the intention, checking the heart, which is voluntary, then that involuntary, ikhlas, sincerity, Allah Ta'ala gives from His treasure. Then the heart has tranquility. This amal is only for Allah, and for nobody else. So these things are involuntary states. All these states and conditions have the inherent benefits, and are not proof of a person's accomplishments, or deviation from the path. Understand that now. What Hazrat is saying, that these conditions, they have benefits also, And also, they are not proof of a person's accomplishment. You felt like this now. Very elated. You got hal. Oh, you got some enjoyment in it through the name of Allah. And the enjoyment came. So, according to ulama, mashayikh, there's no accomplishment on your side. Allah Ta'ala gave you the bounty. But what I feel now, I read somewhere. And I'm feeling something different. I'm seeing lights, I'm seeing nur. I'm seeing different types of things right now. So it seems like now I've reached a certain stage. That is from Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Right? If you're seeing too much of light in the brain, seeing different color lights and dots, etc., then it means you've got to go to the psychiatrist. Because it's not about Sharia. This now, your mind has to be there that you're connected to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So it's no accomplishment of a person, nor is it dalalat al-tariq, deviation from the path. Now, if it's not opening up, it's feeling restless, the mind is wandering. Now you feel, hey, I think I'm going off the track now. I'm here, but I don't think I'm here. Then. What happens? Shaitan makes you feel despondent. Is it not for you? The way you must go then? Sharia, deen is deen, where else you must go? But you go in Jamaat also, and after 15, 20 days, hey, I don't think Jamaat is for me. The only way you want to go, sit at home. This is for us. We'll be made to move in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have this constriction. But that also should make a person feel that this is not for me. That now is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadrat says that that time now, don't push. Just suffice on their a'mal. Faraiz, wajibat. Whatever sunnahs you can do, alhamdulillah. Don't push too much your mind. Because you'll break. You say, not, I can't do this. Is that for me? And what will happen? Your eyes will go onto somebody else. How the guy is playing. Look at him, how he's moving. I'm still stuck over here. Then you get despondent. Now take care of your heart. I mean, Lord of shukr to Allah. You're making sabr now. I mean, shukr with the tongue to Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. Just finish this point. This is so. So don't regard this as an accomplishment of your, from your side, or deviation from the path. If you can't move ahead. This is so because those states and these conditions, the acquisition or eradication of which mankind is not made responsible, is not within their responsibility to remove or to have these conditions. It's not something which is desired from you in Sharia, that you must feel elated, or that now you must feel down. That's from Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So you're not made responsible, can have no bearing whatsoever on these causes of qurb, on the causes of qurb, proximity or nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and bu'd, distance. This is meant figuratively, but is it possible to attain closeness or to be relegated to distance to or from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regard to space, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of space and cannot be contained within. But they say these conditions, you feel like taking me closer or taking me further. You want to touch your heart to these conditions. You say, no, I'm not feeling right. So I'm getting far from Allah. I'm getting far from Allah. No, but the condition is a test for you right now. It will bring you closer. And your condition now makes you feel good and close to Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. Don't get lax now. Now I can take it easy. Now I know how to maneuver. I know how this thing operates. These are now things which Allah Ta'ala didn't make you responsible for. So acceptance, qabul, or rather rejection. In short, mankind is not responsible for matters beyond his choice. This is beyond your choice. Basically what it means, for the solitary in the path of deen, he must just continue with a'mal. Don't worry too much about all these conditions will come now. You must just be the slave of Allah and show your servitude. Whether bounties open up or don't open up, or dunya come, doesn't come. Whether I'm feeling good, not feeling good. As the Talmi Rahmatullah Alayh, almost 17 years of his life, he suffered chronic depression. That's why he became the Mujaddid reformer of the time. Because he knew what it was, how he must have battled night after night. Then too, still continuing his connection with Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. If I know Allah Ta'ala opened him, and how Allah Ta'ala opened him. So today, Alhamdulillah, we're still translating this, Malfusad, then he sings. The commentary on this point is amazingly enlightening, detailed and worthy of being prized. It is also the basis of Iman and the alleviator of state and circumstances, and it is extracted and reproduced here under from Maktubat, correspondence of Hazrat Sayyid Azamwana Shah Muhammad Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali. So he understood these things, but he was going through all these conditions. Now which way he's going? But at the end of the day, what he said, as long as you're on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, in your iman and your amal. Don't worry about anything else. Don't worry about anything else, the anxiety, etc. You just carry on with your amal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pull you through. Allah ta'ala give us understanding.